Drafted this morning. Good ushering there. Yeah. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 as we begin this morning. It's an odd sermon for Valentine's Day weekend. I didn't work it out that way. It just happened to fall as it has. Why wait? There was an accident and two dogs and a cat were killed. They went to stand before the Lord, a German shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat. The Lord wanted to know what they believe in. So he asked the German shepherd that question. The German shepherd responded, "I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master." "Good boy, sit here on my right. Doberman, what do you believe in?" "I believe in the love, care, and protection of my master." "Ah," said God, "sit here on my left." He looked at the cat and he said, "And what do you believe?" And the cat answered, "I believe you're sitting in my seat." We're going to talk about the test of loyalty today. The test of loyalty. When you become a member of the kingdom of God, you promise to follow Jesus, to obey and to trust what he has to say. And as with Abraham and his son Isaac, that pledge will be sorely tested sometimes. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now on to chapter 2, verse 20, the second part of that. "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and he's united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your guidance. Help us with this, we pray. These truths that we have taken for granted for so long are in dispute today. And I pray that you'll help me to present your word in such a way that it will stick. May it be a sticky word today, stick to our minds and our hearts, so that when we are asked in the marketplace about these things, we'll be able to respond intelligently and clearly on behalf of the Lord our God. And we'll thank you for your help in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As with all the other creatures that God created, when he made people, he made them male and female. He created them. Generally speaking, it's pretty clear at birth which gender a being belongs to. There are two genders for a couple of reasons: procreation and completion. God told Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth. That's procreation. A lot of room here. Let's fill it up, guys. This will be good. The earth was created for humans. It was supplied with everything that we would need. And then we were told to resource it well. Care for the earth and the things thereof. The flora, the fauna, and all else. Family is the first institution that God created. He brought Eve to Adam. He said, "Go forth and multiply. And from now on, a man will leave his father and mother, and a woman will leave her family. The two will become one. They will multiply. They will do well." When the Lord brought the male and the female together, he talked about the completion. In creation, it was not good for man to be alone. That was before sin showed up. That was while everything was perfect and good. And of everything else, God said, it is good, it is good, it is very good. Oh, but there was this one thing that wasn't so good, and that was Adam all alone. Let him enjoy the waterfalls, swim with the dolphins, climb with the monkeys, run with the deer. Still, at the end of the day, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Had Eve been created first, I believe the same would have been said of her. It's not good for the woman to be alone. There it was, paradise, but oh, so lonely. And they tell me that loneliness is the most painful emotion known to humankind. Loneliness will drive people to do some very odd things at times. So at the end of the day in paradise, loneliness would settle in. Why do you suppose God chose to take a rib out of the man? Did he really need that rib? He didn't start with a rib when he created Adam, did he? No. Nor of any other of the creatures. He just spoke them forth. But he said, I'm going to take a piece of him before I make her. And Adam's comment was, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Well, God, I like what you did with that rib. That was really something. And she really is of me, part of me. What a wonderful mystery that God would pause. Say, I can make a woman, but I want this special. And he named her after himself. Man, woman. So intimate, so close. Not for any other creature. He didn't take a bone out of the stallion to make a mare. He didn't take a bone out of the bull to make a cow. He just made them. But there's something special about people. A man and a woman. How many know we're not just another animal? I mean, we've been being taught that for a long time. But there's something special about the creation of Adam and Eve and the union that comes between a man and a woman. For a dog, any dog will do when they're in heat. That's a dog. I love my dog, but you know what I'm saying. You know? That's a dog. Union, sex, is a uniting force reserved for those who are joined together in love. Now, I both understand and don't understand sex not in the context of love. Sex outside the context of love isn't love. In fact, it mars, it ruins what sex was created to accomplish. It is perversion. It is wrong thinking. It is unusual. It is not God's design. It perverts, it destroys, it makes what was special unspecial. It dilutes it. It reduces it to something it was never meant to be. When you divorce sex from love, you ruin it, you waste it, you mar it. When you reserve sex for your life partner, that intimacy gives to the two of you a very special bond, a very special relationship. Sex enhances the emotional bond, and the emotional bond enhances the sex. Try having sex when you're upset or angry with one another. It won't end well. Try having sex when one of you is in the mood and the other isn't, it usually doesn't end very well either. You can misuse the gift of sex, but it's to your own detriment. The two will become one flesh. It's about bonding. It's about completing. Opposite genders making one. The two shall become one. Save your relationship super glue for the one you intend to share your life with. This is special. This does something nothing else does. This is something we could study all our lives and we still wouldn't understand all of the intricacies of intimacy between a man and a woman. Paul told us, don't you know that when you unite in the flesh, you also unite with them in spirit? There's something about this is a relationship. Be careful with super glue. My wife has me do all the super gluing at home because she's had a few experiences with it. Like, I can't get my fingers apart now. Be very careful with super glue. And the same is true in our intimacy, the intimate aspect of our lives. When a person is attracted to a person, now I know I'm going to mix a lot of different thoughts here, transvestite, homosexual, I know those are different categories and so on, but they're all under the general category of we're either going to obey Christ or we're not. So when a person is attracted to a person of the same gender, it's called sexual dysphoria. It's been called that for hundreds of years. For the longest time, it was seen as an abnormality that needed to be cured, that needed to be fixed, that needed to be ministered to. But recently in our culture, many have decided that this is normal, that this is an option for human beings, and it's brought a lot of confusion. It's brought a lot of difficulty. In the normal development of a child, they go through many stages, and there's a lot of wonder, many questions, much awkwardness. You've been through that with your kids. They start talking about nakedness, and they did, and so you begin to teach them what is the difference, and what is proper to talk about in public, and what is not proper. Wouldn't it be nice if it was 50 years ago, this sermon would be totally improper. And now it's necessary in our generation. Usually a child will grow into their gender role. And it takes time, it takes maturity, it takes development, it takes instruction to learn who you are and what it's all about. Some boys have more feminine qualities than other guys. Some young ladies are more masculine than their contemporaries, and that's not a problem. It's just an observation. Some are what we call them tomboys. They're a little rougher than, or we used to, it's probably politically incorrect to use that term anymore, but I'm going to get in so deep anyway. Today, it doesn't matter. A few will struggle with sexual dysphoria. Maybe many will in time, at one time or another in life. But to remove the guide rails proclaiming no gender roles, no expectations, is to neglect our responsibility to help nurture the child. We teach our children everything. You've seen a baby when they're born, right? How smart are they? How skilled, how able are they? If you left them alone, what would happen? They would die. You are responsible to care for, to teach, and to help in every realm of life. You wouldn't leave it up to them to learn how to walk or talk or drive. Here's the keys. Figure it out. Just experiment a little. It'll be fine. Go ahead. Is that what you tell a young person? I don't think so. And if we find a young person struggling with same-sex attraction, what do we tell them? Well, what we're telling them now is, wait a little bit. Take some time. Figure this out. Allow yourself to mature. There was a law recently passed in Arkansas that you couldn't, you, you couldn't have a sex change operation on a child. Who would think you'd need a law for that? When a child is still figuring things out, when they're still maturing, to do something permanent about that is just ridiculous. And so we're telling young people, listen, you know, you may have feelings of many different kinds, especially in this culture where we are bombarded with images and philosophies that are all over the map. It may take you a while, but please don't do anything that you may regret for the rest of your life. Why do things you may sorely regret later and that for the rest of your life? Why injure yourself? Why not take a little more time? Don't get into a sexual act. Don't take hormone injections. Don't have surgery to change things when you're not even fully baked yet. Give the dough time to rise and let's see what doesn't come of things. We're having a meeting not far from now, Good Friday, as a matter of fact. They're going to be meeting with our students and with our youth leaders and so on across the Pennsylvania-Delaware District of the Assemblies of God, because they're finding out more of our youth groups, especially in urban areas and so on, transvestites are, you know, coming to the youth group and so on and so forth. And so we have to set a pattern here. We want them to feel welcome because we want them to experience Christ. And so we reach out in love and we welcome them in. And yet, at the same time, we want to be clear about our message and what God has for them in life. And it has happened in some of our youth groups as that has transpired. Kids have become part of the youth group and so on. And then the youth leader or the youth pastor has felt, you know, duty bound to either personally or as a group address and say, now here's what the Bible has to say about gender and roles and so on, and here's where we stand, that we love and we cherish everybody, but this is God's plan for your life. And as that has happened, some of the parents have gone ballistic, lawsuits and everything else. You know, you're discriminating against my child and you've made them feel bad and so on and so forth. So this issue is coming into the church. And we have to know, well, how do we deal with this? Well, we love the person, and we do what we can to minister to the need that is obvious. And we try to minister to that need the best that we can. And so step number one is just, could we take a little time? Don't hurry into this. You don't have to get into a relationship at 14 years old. You don't have to make a decision at 16, give it some time, especially when you set God out in front of you. Give the Lord time to speak into your life and speak into your heart about these things. There was a young lady, we have a counselor up at our district center now. She used to be a school counselor, now she's come on staff as a counselor there at the district headquarters. And she was telling us about one young lady that she dealt with for several years in middle school, in the school district she was in. And this young lady was dressing and presenting herself as a boy. And they were meeting together and they were talking. And as they began to peel back the layers, they went back to where it all started. And what she discovered and what the young lady discovered as well was she was sexually abused when she was very young. And she noticed that in her family, the boys were not being sexually abused, but the girls were. And so she figured if she presented herself as a boy, the abuse would stop. And as she understood what had been going on in her own life, and I know every story is unique and different, but it helped her to walk out of that desire to be a transvestite, to being a young lady and following after that pattern in her life. But take your time. Don't make any decisions that you may regret later. Don't do anything that's going to just give it time and allow it to come about. The Bible warns us about premarital extramarital and homosexual sex. And I believe that God has earned the right to instruct us, to give us counsel, and to lay the guide rails down that we should follow. He is God. And even if as an individual I might have desires that deviate from the path he has laid out. And what human being doesn't have desires that deviate from the path that God has laid out? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. On and on the story goes. But we learn blessing flows when I'm in obedience with God. And we learn to pray, God, I don't want what I want anymore. I want what you want. I want to want what you want, Lord. And show me the way to life in every category of life. God sets limits so we can enjoy life to the fullest, not to restrict us, but to protect us. Let him lead the way. You may feel that you've met the man of your dreams in eighth grade and you're going to get married someday and so on. And you may well have. But reserve married things for marriage. And wait. And be careful in the meantime. As I always say, you don't need a boyfriend or a girlfriend in kindergarten. And you don't need to be going steady in middle school. The Bible teaches us to develop you before you become an us. Develop you. Learn who you are, what your gifts and talents are. That should take up a lot of time and energy. What are you good at? Great. Let's apply that for a while. Let's see if that's what you're going to do for a living. Let's develop all of the intricacies of you. Become a full person. Become healthy. I meet so many people who don't think they can exist outside of a relationship with another person. And that's sad. And as soon as they're done with one relationship, they got to get into another. And I'm talking from kindergarten on up. They got to have a boyfriend or they got to have a girlfriend. And as they get older, they don't feel like a person unless they're attached somehow. And that's sad. You got to develop you before you can become an us. And you won't be as good for your partner if you're not fully baked yourself, if you're not developed, if you don't know where you're going in life, what your likes and so on and so forth, your gifts and strengths and weaknesses are. Let God set those limits and wait until the appropriate time, till you're 18 or 28 or 42 and you get married, and then do marital things. One good reason to wait is that when a relationship gets too physical too soon, the relationship is a physical relationship, period. That's it. You can't wait to get together physically. You can't wait to go to the next step. It's just hormones are racing and raging and peaking and satisfying, and all over the cycle begins again. It's a physical relationship. You don't love the person, you love the body. The touching, the physical interaction. It's not until later that you find out who you're in a relationship with. I didn't know you like that. Yeah, well, I didn't even know your middle name. What? Hey, wait a second. And we are on a fast track now in our society, in the world in general. We've got parents who allow the boyfriend or the girlfriend to sleep over. We've got these relationships, middle school and such, and they're being intimate with one another. And now we took gas and we threw it on the fire. Well, we said, you don't even have to be in a relationship with one another. A lot of the young people are coming out as bisexual. Having orgies in high school or younger? Are you nuts? Have you no idea how dangerous that is? Emotionally, psychologically, physically? This is crazy. And we've got a society at large that is cheering it on, calling it normal, telling them to go ahead and experiment and to try. Nothing could be more outrageous. Nothing could be more outrageous. You want, you need a partner that loves you, not just your body. This buy stuff, it's so utterly destructive. It completely takes the two become one. I don't know what, 3, 5 become one, 242 become one. How many of you been with before you end up in a relationship become one, bringing a little bit of everything into it all? Love gives, shares, finds satisfaction. Lust hurts, takes, and thirsts for more, never satisfied. There's a lot of lust going on. And the world, when they use the word love, it's usually the word lust. Oh, I really lust you. Love gives, shares, and finds satisfaction. Lust hurts, takes, and thirsts for more, never satisfied. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. A man, a woman, a husband, a wife. Man and wife, male and female, leave dad and mom, establish a family, fend for themselves. And as I said, the scriptures encourage us to get a life before we become a family. Be a you before you become an us. Develop who you are. You'll have a lot of strange feelings before you're fully baked, and that's okay. Take your time. You will find the Word of God a trustworthy guide. Do it God's way. There's safety. He figured it out a long time ago. He figured it out before he even made Adam out of the dust. He says, here's how this thing can work. But if we get off these rails, oh my. If we lose the family, if everybody's just kind of everybody, and oh wow, society, jealousy, rage, no. Disease, no. Slow down. Take your time. As I said, you don't need a girlfriend in kindergarten. Here's another one. You don't need a girlfriend after you're married. You don't need a boyfriend after you're married, other than the one you're married to, of course. Oh my, the devil will drive you, won't he? Oh, the temptation will be so strong sometimes. Ooh. Like Jesus said, better to enter heaven without an eye or an arm than to go whole into the fires of hell. Do what you need to do to stay away from temptation, to be sober, to wake up to the realities of the trap that the devil has set for you. If you follow the world's advice, you'll find yourself on shifting sand that leaves you broken. One day the world will be all for morality, and the next day all twisted. That's the way the world works. But you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Why wait? So here's the loyalty test. Follow Jesus or follow the world. Wait for marriage or not. Keep married things within the context of marriage or not. Why wait? Well, so you have time to find out who you are first. I have a friend whose granddaughter announced that she had a girlfriend. And his son and his daughter-in-law don't go to church. They're progressive. And he said to the granddaughter, well, it could just be a phase. They thought he was going to be upset and go into some redneck hoop-de-doo or whatever. And he just smiled and said, well, it could just be a phase, because she's only like 14 years old. And the daughter-in-law got real upset with him because he wasn't being supportive, you see. But it didn't take very long. She found out there was a handsome young fella in her class that she liked. It was just a phase. Give it some time. Find out who you are first. Why wait? Well, find out who they are. Not just what they look like and what they feel like. Fall in love with the person inside that body first. Would you stand with me this morning?